You want me?
I want you.
Good. That's what I'm here for.
Aww.
Shut up and sit down.
It's a time of the year where you thank somebody and because they gave you stuff, because they might like you.
Broken bicycles, old busted chains, rusted handlebars out in the rain.
You are listening to the Dialed Podcast with Matt LeGrand, Evan Price, Lance Hepler, and Jake Von Turing. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to go baste the turkey and hide the kitchen knives. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
The wheels won't turn when the other half's gone.
What a turkey like.
Thanksgiving, everybody.
Hi, and welcome back to the Dial Podcast. I am Jake Von Turing, and I'm here with Lance Friggin' Hepler.
Lance Friggin' Hepler.
He's freaking.
Freaking it up.
Just here freaking. For your freaking pleasure.
What's going on, Friggin' Hepler?
You know, stuff.
Stuff and things.
Things. Yes. Stuff.
Just left Matt LeGrand.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen of the internet? You guys are looking pretty dang good. Pretty good.
Caffeinated.
Very
fully caffeinated.
Yes.
Fully loaded.
Right on. Hey, 301. Remember the good old days when we did 300, the live studio audience thing? That was fun.
The live studio audience, that's like my fave.
It was
I love
fun.
Those.
It
I
was
love
a
those.
Great show. I really enjoyed it. Yeah.
Good
yeah.
times. I'm looking forward to 400 back at Ben's Bottle Shop if that's how things roll.
Yeah. They were excited to have us. That was kind of cool. So I think that we've got an open invitation to go back there in the future.
Especially like doing it on a Sunday night when it's like they're not busy.
No.
There was just only like a handful of people in the bar proper section.
Yeah.
Yeah, watching some foosball.
Yeah, watching Sunday night football in there. Yeah. So, yeah, it was good.
Maybe a Tour de France version there. Maybe. Actually, I don't know if they open that early.
Well, but for that, the one thing that could be like a later one would be that time trial could go late. And then, because you got to figure they're going to have the award ceremony after that, maybe.
And that will be a Sunday or a Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah, they won't have football that time of year, so we could potentially step in there. And I do know that they have a kitchen that does breakfast stuff for the football games, but I don't know if they're going to want to do a breakfast thing for us, too. That'd be pretty stinking awesome.
I still think, because one of the things that they run into is like, well, they're going to have to be careful about having like a time trial where they're racing at night, even though they want to have the ceremony at night in France. So we'll just say that that's 7 o'clock for the ceremony, for the award ceremony.
Yeah.
And then what's 7 o'clock our time, you know, France, 7 o'clock, that's our time. It's kind of midday morning, isn't
it? Yeah, it's like 10 a.m.
Yeah. It's kind of early to be drinking. Sure. Kind of early.
Is it though?
For Lance? No.
Never.
For Lance? No. But for the rest of us, yes. A little early.
How early do you start cranking on those Monster Energy drinks there, Hepler?
That's right from the get-go.
That's a sunrise crack.
Yeah. You got to get started, right?
I usually only have one a day anyway, so.
Sweet.
I usually only have one when I wake up a day, and then a lot more after that. Those are killing you.
Hey, Hepler, you want to backpedal for us?
I'll backpedal.
Go for it.
I crossed 11,000 miles for the year.
What?
This week. Yeah,
11. Funny, I cross 11 miles.
How in the world do you have 11,000 miles?
I have 11,000 miles for the year so far. Now,
is that a PR?
No.
Are you on pace for a PR?
Well, I think my PR is 12 something or almost 13. I think I did 13,000 one year.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So,
kind of crazy.
You really don't have much else to do, do you?
No, only 8,000 of that is outdoors, though. So, that, you know, those numbers are inflates a little
some
bit.
Some of those are Zwift, whatever, the flat, Fuego Flats or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Those are some good
Pacer
numbers.
Bot.
Pacer bot.
Yeah, like average 25 miles an hour for a couple hours, yeah. Anyway, but I did some fantastic rides this last week. Last week, I did almost 18 hours, over 300 miles in 18 hours last week.
Wow.
So that's
like
a lot.
My last like 3 months for me.
Yeah. But one of the... You know what I've been doing, and maybe this is lame or maybe it's not, But I
will be
the
judge.
We've had great weather, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've had pretty
like some good afternoons.
Weather. Like good afternoons, like sunny and not raining. And so I've been going out in the afternoons and just chasing segments.
That's fine. I don't know.
I've just been crowned.
It's that time of year.
Yeah.
I think that's good. It's like very unstructured and it's kind of fun.
It's just like easy ride until, okay, I know I want to attack this one and then just go full gas for 2 minutes. And then
I know what he's up to too. Cause like the second I notice that the wind's blowing out there,
you're like, oh.
Segment. Lance is out chasing the wind right now. And no joke, like as soon as the wind starts to die down, like I'll get a notification that Lance just finished a Strava ride.
You just stole your segment.
Yep, Lance got a couple crowns.
So we haven't really had really windy days yet, though. Yeah. So they've just been kind of moderate. But I've been riding on gravel and I've been riding on the road. I did a Saturday group ride with the
Mari group.
With the Mari group.
I saw that.
Which was great. We didn't have a race. We didn't have a team thing going on. And so I'm like, I'm just going to ride with the Mar group. And there was 10 of us that went, and it was a wonderful ride up to North Clark County. So it was lovely. But Sunday, I did one of those OMTM, like, big rides. Not big rides, but it was
OMTM. Sunday we had our podcast. Or was that, did I mess something up? Is it two Sun? Have I been? Has it been 2 weeks?
It's been a week and a half since we recorded last.
So much to go over.
It's been a week and a half.
Sunday you did a mountain bike.
It was a gravel ride. Okay. OMTM is Our Mother the Mountain.
Oh yeah, it's a website.
Yeah, it's a website, but they've been doing like, hey, we're gonna do a group ride this Sunday, and there were like 50 people that showed up. So they call them all road rides, where the first 10 miles were on gravel, and then we did a 5 mile single track section. and then you ended up back on the road for like the last 15 or 20.
You used a gravel bike.
I used a gravel bike.
The Urs or whatever.
I used the Urs.
And you felt like that was the right bike.
Yeah, it was.
It was the right bike.
It was the right bike.
Yeah. Cause you can single track it.
Yeah. And it wasn't hard single track, but it was a little wetter than we were anticipating. Okay. So it rained on us for a while. But I went out there with Ed Dudlick, teammate, and John Hatfield, and the three of us rode together. It was in the Dalles area called the Chenoweth Highlands.
I did see some pictures from that because you went up the Columbia River Gorge, whatever, like the...
Rowena Outlook.
Yes, thank you. Yes,
between the Dalles and the river.
It's gorgeous there.
It's just gorgeous.
Gorgeous in the gorge.
Just gorgeous in the gorge.
I mean... Every time I'm like, this is just like the place. Every time I ride those sections, like switchbacks and stuff, I'm like, I feel like I'm at the tour on the switchbacks in the mountains. And you're just like, this is the best.
There was a lot of talk during that ride because there used to be a race that went up the Rowena switchbacks called the Gorge Drew Bay. And that was the first time I ever actually raced with Jake, even though we didn't know each other. We were in the same race field, I believe.
Were we?
Yeah.
All right.
But you beat me by like 20 minutes because there was like...
I won that race.
Yes, there you go. So I remember, I think it was my first ever actual like race.
You were probably getting back into the groove of cycling.
I
want to
say it was 2017 or 2016.
16, yeah,
it might have been 2016. Yep. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to go. I've been training, and, hey, I'm good on Strava, so I must be fast.
Yeah.
So.
I remember that race vividly. I'm like, oh, my God, there are a lot of people in this field. It was over 100 people in our field.
Yes,
it was
big.
So it was kind of a little bit of a neutral rollout, and then they, like, let us go. And I had no idea what to expect. I'd never ridden out there before, and I'm like, oh, this is pretty. And then we get to the Rowena switchbacks, and I'm like, go time.
Yeah.
And so I attacked, and our teammate
Jordan
Rickards went with me, and the two of us went hard going up the Rowena switchback. And the next thing I know, we get to the top. I look back, and it's myself and Jordan and like four or five other guys, and we dropped everybody else.
And that was it.
So that was it. And we just kind of like duked it out for the rest of the ride.
So this is classic. This is classic Hepler racing. So first ever race, didn't know what to expect. It started with, what did it start with? It started with like 8 miles of flat, right? Mm-hmm. Before we hit the Rowena switchbacks. Yep. And that's only like a 3 mile climb. It's not that long of a climb, but it's all paved. And so the race starts, again, big group, 100, 150 people. Mm-hmm. And I'm just sitting in the Peloton and I'm thinking, this is freaking easy. What is the big... I'm just sitting in the group, right? Because it's all flat. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going 24 miles an hour or something, or 25 miles an hour, because you're sitting in a Peloton with, you know, into full draft. And as soon as we hit the Rowena Switchbacks and you and Jordan attack...
just like, go.
Veep! Gink me right out the back. Oh, no. That was it. Over. And I'm like, oh, okay. I this isn't easy. This is really hard. So anyway.
That was a fun race. It's too bad they took that off the calendar.
Yeah, they switched it to the Gorge Gravel Grinder, and he's gone to all gravel and roads.
From a business perspective, it makes all the sense in the world. But that was still a fun ride. And I knew going into that ride that I'd be okay on the road bike, but then you're still like reading stuff, and you're like, should I be rolling with gravel tires? Do I need a different bike? What kind of tires? And it was just like such an internal debate for me that whole entire week leading up to it. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to roll with it the way that it is. And I think I was on like 25s at the time and did just fine. It's a very buffed out like gravel road that you have to ride on. So it was good.
There was 1 3-mile gravel section that was a climb, mm-hmm. and it was pretty buffed. So everybody, gravel bikes actually weren't really a thing in 2016, right. And neither was gravel really.
But there was a lot of talk of people like, oh, I'm going to use a cyclocross bike. A cyclocross bike is going to be better for that. I'm going to use this kind of cyclocross tire. And
It was a road race with a 3-mile gravel section.
It's interesting how fast things have changed. Because we're talking about 5-6 years ago, and it's like maybe 7 years ago, and it's like, oh wow, now gravel's like, oh yeah, everyone's just using a gravel bike.
Yes,
it hit quick.
But even on if they did that same course, I would race a road bike with like 28s on it because that would be completely fine.
At that time, it seemed like tires were right at that point where tires were getting wider. Everyone's like, I'm going to go to 28s.
And tubeless was not a thing. True. Yeah.
There were some people riding it, but everybody was like, why are you doing that on a road bike? They're just not reliable. They're going to puncture all the time. Correct. They're super messy. And then it wasn't until, gosh, maybe 2018, 19, somewhere in there that it became a little bit more mainstream. Wheel manufacturers and tire manufacturers started to play nice together. Yes. And then that's when everybody started to make that jump over.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting times.
So. Interesting times. Anyway, sorry. My back pedal went way back.
That's how it goes.
All right. I'm still riding bikes.
Good. Is that it?
That's it.
Sweet. Matt?
I don't know what I've been doing. I think I've been just doing a small mix of swimming, biking, and running. Ran with David Goodman once or twice, and I...
What's his goal with the running? Is it just for fitness? Or
just
does he
for
have,
fun.
Okay, he's just not like fun. All of a sudden going to be Mr. Triathlete now?
No,
or?
But he... So I told him that we're going to do a turkey trot, just make our own turkey trot on Thursday, tomorrow. So I don't know when the podcast goes out. Maybe today?
Maybe today, hopefully.
So Thanksgiving Day, we'll do a turkey trot, and... I'm sure he'll run a 5K PR because it's just like
good
easy pickings for him.
There's, and sorry if this is killing people that aren't local. There used to be a local turkey trot through the Lacamas Swim and Sport, but Lacamas Swim and Sport has been since purchased by Gold's Gym, my new stomping grounds, by the way. Yes. But anyway, do they still run the turkey trot or did that thing?
No, not that I know of. And so I'm going to put on my own and it's going to start at Heritage Trail on the boat ramp side starting at 9 a.m. So if the podcast comes out and
have
you guys
put
hear this
word out to everybody.
I got to send an email to my cross-country team so that some people will show up.
But people
not that many people.
Yeah, people
will show up. We'll get 10, 20 people or something.
The Lacamas Turkey Trot, did it like 10 times.
That was massive. You have 50 people.
It was like 80 people or something.
Yeah, it was big.
Can we call it the Matt LeGrand Turkey Trot?
Nope, we can't
call
it that.
Come on, let's brand this thing.
Let's brand this thing, but it's got to be something Turkey Trot. Can't be Matt
LeGrand. The Matt LeGrand YouTube channel Turkey Trot.
Yes.
Come on. Sponsored in part by?
No chip timing. No, nothing special. Go run. That's what it's all about.
Sweet.
So that'll be tomorrow morning. I ran this morning. I coached swimming this week.
What?
I know. This is the best, right? Like, I'm always like complaining about coaching on the podcast. And then here we are. Like two of the swim coaches were out of town. And I was like, I'll hop in. So I coached swimming this week. I've been getting up at like 5 in the morning to go to swim at 6 to have, because their practices are like, you know, early morning before school for the Camas High School swim team. So that's what I've been doing the past couple mornings.
Cool.
Coach and swim. Wow. It's been fun actually, because I've been working with the noobs and you can teach them a couple things and they'll improve like 5 seconds a lap, right? Where it's like you go to the other side of the pool, you give them a couple tips and you, nothing, no difference in time. So it's fun to coach the new people, and that's where they need the help from a coaching standpoint. So I'll probably hop in and help a little bit with swimming. It's been really fun the past couple of days doing that. So it was good. Today was technically my last day because it was like they just didn't have coaches Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. With the holidays coming up, they're not going to have swim practice for a little bit, but I'll probably hop in and coach a little bit more this season. Other than that, I rode Zwift a little bit. Nothing big going on, backpedal wise.
Good deal.
Yeah.
Fun.
Yes.
Coming
up next week, one of the reasons I may or may not be on the podcast next week, Ethan, my oldest kid, and I are flying to Amsterdam.
What?
I know.
You know, I was just looking through my...
Your photos or something.
No, through Strava. It tells you
You
did this. And 1 year ago, I did like a 13-mile city bike ride through Amsterdam.
Was that the day you rode on the velodrome?
That was not. That was in Roubaix. That was several weeks later, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Later. DC Rainmaker, Ray is doing his, like, and he does this once a year where he does like an open house. And last year I was like, oh, you know, this looks awesome. I'll come sometime. And he was like, oh, come this year. It's only like $700 for a plane ticket or whatever. And he was like, this is what he does. He's just like,
yeah.
Oh, you're coming. I'll find tickets for you. Cause so then I was like, okay, I have to have a little more prep cause I have to have the family on board for something like this. I was like, next year, let's seriously consider it. And, so came around this year and I'm talking to my wife and I'm like, I don't know. I don't have to go. Like I can go anytime or whatever. And she's like, yeah, you should go. And Ethan was like, I really want to go to Amsterdam for some reason. I'm like, why? And he's like, that's where he wanted to go.
Really good pot,
like,
Dad. Really good pot.
That's what I was thinking. But he was like, I want to see the canals. I'm like,
that's
okay.
That's cool.
Okay, whatever. So I was like, okay, well, I have this thing that I can go to in Amsterdam. You want to go? And he's like, yeah. And then we kind of like molded over for a while. And I was like, yeah, let's really go.
So you're going with your oldest son.
Yep.
That
oldest son,
cool.
He's 13, and we're going to fly over. It's a direct flight from Portland to Amsterdam,
yes,
which is nice.
That is fantastic. Yeah. Yep.
And so it's a long flight, but we're going to go. And so we'll do that. We'll do like race, like do some stuff with Ray, and we're going to try and find a pool because he really needs to swim.
He just had some really good swimming results too, yeah?
Yeah. He is on fire in the pool. I just wanted him to have like a whole week off it's not in the middle of the season, but it's kind of like... I don't know.
He needs to get in the pool a few times.
Yeah, he's swimming like 2 hours a day. So to take like a week off is a lot.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
To take off.
Yeah. And so we're going to find a pool while we're there. But the other thing that I wanted to do, we'll do the whole, we'll do some stuff with like Ray and stuff like that. And then we'll do on Monday, I'm going to have us take a train to Paris and go just do sightseeing stuff.
Oh, cool.
For a couple of days and then take a train back to Amsterdam, fly back out of Amsterdam, back home. Just a 1 week trip. Two of the days will be just lost to travel.
Yeah.
So it'll be fun.
Amsterdam is fantastic.
I don't know what to do there. Ray will have a lot of ideas.
Yes, there's a lot. There's a lot to see. There's great museums. Just riding a city bike around town. The biking infrastructure in Amsterdam is
insane.
Like pedestrian, like bikes have right of way over pedestrians and cars.
Wow. What?
Yes. There's actually
the expectation is that you're on a bike.
Yes. There's actually a section of the downtown city that they're trying to close to cars entirely.
There's like bike traffic and bike lights and bike. There's like so many people helping through traffic.
There's actually specific lanes through the entire downtown area of Amsterdam just for bikes and like with their own like stoplights.
Remind me again, why do we live here?
I know, right? So I'm going to, I think I'll probably take an Uber from the airport to our hotel. And then at that point, I'll probably get a bike for the couple of days.
Yeah, so I found there's tons of places all over Amsterdam where you can, and for tourists to rent like a city bike. And not just like, I need this for 2 hours. You can go in and say, I'm going to be here for 4 days. And they're like, super. This is where you rent it for 4 days. They come with their own locks. They're beat up city bikes, but that's what you're riding around town. That's what everybody's riding.
I would just like, borrow something from Ray, but like I'll have Ethan with me, and I think the two of us will want to go do stuff or see things or bike to the pool or whatever we need to do.
If I recall, it is illegal, not just illegal, but enforced not to have a light on the front and rear of your bike at night.
That's a good point. Well, but if we rent a city bike,
it'll come with lights.
They'll know.
Yeah. It comes with lights. But like, you don't have your light. There's like cops on bikes that will give you a ticket.
We'll be like, yeah, I'll pay this next time I'm here, buddy.
But yeah, biking around Amsterdam was one of my favorite things to do in all of Europe.
Was to
bike just around Amsterdam.
Bike around.
Seeing the, you know, going on the cobblestones, riding around the canals,
I think that
you're going to love it.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to be busy cuz I want to do some stuff with Ray, film some stuff, and then like Ethan will want to see stuff, we'll want to swim, and it's going to go fast.
Be a fun father-son trip, though.
It'll be a really fun father-son trip. Yeah, it'll be good. He's missing a swim meet for this.
Which is a big deal to him right now.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
So it'll be fun. Looking forward to that. I'll report back to the podcast on how that went next time.
Cool.
Yep.
Sweet.
See some cool stuff.
Right on. Does that mean I'm supposed to go now?
I love that.
Backpedal.
I haven't really done much, guys.
You've been lifting.
I have been lifting. I have not.
How's that feeling?
Missed any of my workouts in 3 weeks, which is awesome. I've been going every other day religiously. And I think I'm like,
program?
Yeah. And I've been working out with my son too, which has been a lot of fun. And I've got him on a program and we're going through kind of like the neuromuscular adaptation phase into a hypertrophy phase. I'm going to get it into a strength phase here in a couple of weeks. And then, to start getting a little bit more specific, but I'm kind of excited how I'm feeling because of that. I'm still kind of dealing with, a little bit of pain, discomfort and swelling and all that other stuff. But I think on the whole, it's helping me. And again, I've mentioned this before, but we've kind of changed course in terms of like the things that I'm doing with the massage therapist, the acupuncturist and the physical therapist, knowing that it's not a torn labrum. And I think that coupled with the strength training has given me some better results. And I've actually been able to get back on the bike. Haven't ridden outside yet, but I've been riding on the trainer and I've done a handful of rides that were about an hour and a half. Like last night, we did the team ride for an hour and a half.
How was that? Jake was on it the whole time. You stayed the whole time last night.
Wait, I thought that was supposed to be Thursday nights.
Well, we have both.
A Thursday night and a Tuesday night Zwift ride.
The Tuesday night one's the one that's been around for like 7 or 8 years now. The Thursday one kind of started up. David Barton has been running those on Thursdays for two, maybe 3 years now. Yeah. So that's been a lot of fun. But like last night, though, I think I probably could have hung with you because we did a fun little route. It was a fun little circuit thing. It was like 7 laps. And the last lap was a hot lap. And the laps were only like, 4 miles long?
4.2 miles long or something.
And I stayed with everybody for the first half of that lap. And then they really got after it. And it was my legs. I was feeling it a little bit, but they were so like just worn out because I went to the gym and did a full leg workout. I use an app to track everything because I like to have the data and I like to see progress and I know where I'm left off and what I did. And I've just got a whole program that I've plugged in there. But it's kind of fun because you put in your exercises, you put your sets and your reps and your weights, and then it gives you like a total like volume of pounds lifted for each rep.
What app is this?
I think it's called Strong or Strength or I can
look it up and then we'll...
But anyhow, it tells you what your total volume is. It's called Strong. That's the app called. Anyway... You guys want to take a stab at how many pounds I lifted before going on trainer like 45 minutes after this workout?
I don't know. 800?
Like the 1,000.
Right. It's got to be pretty big because you're doing reps of things. Like each time you do a rep of.
Exactly. Yeah. It was over 80,000 pounds.
80,000 pounds. Yeah. That was really close.
So long story short, I was a little bit fatigued after doing a full like leg workout that was actually the hardest one that I'd done to date. And I was like super stoked on that because I'm like, all right, I'm going to push it a little bit today. I'm going to increase all of my weights. I'm going to increase my sets. I'm going to increase my reps. Well, I didn't really increase my reps. I'm still just kind of at that 15 range. But anyway, the total volume increased significantly from my last leg workout by almost 2x in terms of like the total volume lifted, which is good. And I came out of that. I'm like, I feel pretty stinking good. I'm like, but I guess I'll go ride the bike. So I was happy. That's it. I was happy with that. And I was happy that I was able to stay on the ride. And that last lap, like I said, like everybody rode away from me about halfway through. And I'm like, I can probably try and sprint, stay up with them. I don't want to push it. I don't want to do anything dumb. Just stick to the program, Jake. But I still stayed with it. And I still finished, within, stone's throw distance of you guys and finished the ride. So I was kind of stoked about that. That's good progress for me. So much so that I'm actually going to ride outside for the first time tomorrow on Thanksgiving.
Oh, fantastic.
Since July. So we'll see how that goes.
Wait, did you already have a birthday, or is your birthday coming up?
Oh, those are so passe, man. You guys still have birthdays? I thought we were done with those.
Yes, he had a birthday. He turned 49. Yes, he did a miles per ride, but he did it on the trainer. He rode 49 miles on the trainer.
Yes. Did that happen? Have we talked about that already on the podcast? Like I was in the bathroom or something? Okay.
We have not
talked about it.
That was a week ago. I rode on the trainer that day.
49 miles.
It was 2 hours and 15 minutes, and that was my biggest ride that I had done since July, and I was able to get through that. I did have to take advantage of the little coffee break feature that they have on Zwift right now, which I quite like. I think that's pretty awesome. So basically, I think within like the first 5 minutes, they give you like a 30-second like coffee break that you can take. Like if you need to tighten up your shoes or adjust something, you can jump back on. And then after that, it's every 30 minutes, you get a 3-minute break that you can take, which kind of comes in handy regardless if you need to do like, you know, stretching things. Like I was taking advantage of that. But if you got to get up and use the restroom, or if you're doing something and you just don't want to like lose where you're at or the group that you're riding with, which we do frequently, it's really nice just to get up and like walk around. You come back and oh, there's my guy, he's right there. So anyway, I did take advantage of that to stretch a little bit. I didn't use the full 3 minutes on those because I wanted to give it an honest go for my birthday age, if you will. But I felt pretty good.
Love it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Some good distance there.
Yeah,
because you're getting freaking old.
Yeah, it's getting hard.
49.
I think the first year I did this was when I was 33 or 34. So it's been a few years of doing this every single year on my birthday. And last year was probably the hardest one because I'm like, all right, I'm going to do it this year on the gravel bike.
Because 48 miles on the gravel bike.
On the gravel bike. And it was windy as hell. So like I rode out on the dike. And I remember riding out into like a very, very brisk headwind. I'm like, this sucks. But I'm like, when I get out there, finally, when I turn around, it's going to be glorious. And it was, but I was still kind of tired because your average speed comes down and you're out there for a lot longer. But
yeah,
it was
a
fun ride. Anyway, enough rambling on about that stuff. Just been riding on Zwift, going to the gym, nothing special. But hopefully next week I'll have something more to talk about.
This whole week has just been way better for you. You are making progress with this, which is fantastic.
So yeah, I just,
it makes me happy.
The only thing that concerns me though is I've always told you guys, if I even like smell a gym, I put on weight.
Yeah.
I've put on like weight, but it's muscle mass.
It's muscle mass.
But I can, at the same time, I'm seeing my body composition change. So you're going to spike up a little bit in terms of the weight. It doesn't take much for me to go to the gym and put on 5-10 pounds in muscle weight. It just happens to me naturally. That's just the way it's always been.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of concerned, like, if I stay this course, I don't want to get into, like, this, like, look at Jake over there. He's, like, you know, 215 pounds bodybuilder, like, lean and all this stuff. And, maybe I'll just become a crit racer at that point in time, start knocking people off the bike. But,
thick crit boys.
Yeah. But I need to get down to 180 pounds. So I've got to, at some point in time, start that transition of, like, all right, we got to back off the weights. We got to back off the hypertrophy kind of things that are happening. And just really do, like, functional, like, strength training that's going to, you know, allow me to drop that down. But
that's interesting. I do not put on muscle mass easy. I can smell a donut and put on 5 pounds.
The problem is I can do the same thing. Yeah. So
I gain weight really easily, you know, but not muscle mass weight. So that's kind of the way my body
I wonder
works.
Too is like as we get older too, it just gets harder to put on muscle. Like I used to be able to, especially when I was like running a lot, like if I was like, oh, I can go spend some time in the gym and I can just like put on muscle like quick.
Yeah.
But now that I'm 84,
nah,
not so much.
I'm thinking like I can go look in the weight room and I'm like, I need a nap. Not like
I don't know. Have you guys ever had your testosterone levels checked?
Because
that's generally what starts to happen is they start to like dwane a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of like master cyclists, they're going and they're getting these TUEs, use exemptions to get the testosterone stuff done. I remember that when I was dealing with a lot of like the damage that I had from being hit by the car, I was working with a naturopath and she wanted to have me do like a full panel of testing. And one of the things that they test for is testosterone.
Yeah.
And came back and she's like, yeah, you don't have a problem here. You're kind of off the charts.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, that makes sense. So anyway,
my testosterone levels, the last time I checked them, were not terrible. They were higher than a normal 50-year-old would be.
Sure.
So
I
have not done.
I see 8 doctors and each one of them has got me on a testosterone check. So I just get
beefcake.
I'm kind of just get them tattered up on my patches all the way up my back.
That's awesome.
Eight to nine different patches.
Look at my patch sweater.
I have not had my testosterone checked. I'm very curious because I bet you my levels were decent when I, like, even like 10 years ago, but my levels were really good. And now I bet you they're just, I don't know.
That begs a good question, though. I mean, if your levels were significantly lower or maybe a little bit lower than the AV and you were starting to kind of feel the effects, would you get on any kind of testosterone supplement just to kind of level things out, knowing that it's going to help you out, like, you know, just through like your day to day and all the stuff that you're doing in life. But there's that gray area of like, well, you're also a competing athlete. Is this something that you would not do because of that?
I don't think you can. I don't think you should. If you're going to compete, you should not be on. Well, I mean, then the whole thing is like, if there's some way to report your therapeutic exemption, then sure, that's fine. But I just don't think like places like Obra are going to, they're not going to care. They're not going to want to be a part of any of that. Yeah. They're just going to be like, toss it and go ahead and compete. And if you're roided out, that's fine with us.
Yeah, that's
my theory.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to speculate on things, but you have suspicions about people sometimes. Yeah, just
got my suspicions on you, Jake. Got my suspicions. Gonna get you.
I'm pretty certain there's lots of racers we race with that are on some kind of testosterone replacement therapy. I have never done it. I have never wanted to, mostly because
I would love to try it.
I would like to try too. Like,
I would love to try.
Like, how is that going to affect me? But I would be so concerned that it's going to have some sort of like lasting effect on me. Like, if you're going to do that, then you're going to screw up your natural production of testosterone, and
you might lose your hair.
Yeah,
lose your hair. I think you're.
Who cares about hair when you got a body like that?
That's
right?
True.
Yeah, one of the dangers with testosterone replacement therapy is that your body's natural, ability to produce testosterone.
Your gonads go to sleep, baby.
Yeah, they do. So then you go off the testosterone therapy, and then you have none in your system.
Yeah.
And so if you don't continue to stay up with it, your body can tank.
You go see a good doctor, they're going to cycle you on testosterone, right? Like, so that you go through those waves of having it and not having it. And so you don't have like the huge drop. I don't know, actually. Yeah. We'd have to have a doctor on here and have them talk about it.
Taking it from a perspective of like, I'm doing this for performance enhancing reasons. But if you're talking about it from a perspective of like, I've got general naturally health. Low testosterone. I mean, what if it was a for life kind of thing?
You know, what's interesting is, and maybe we've talked about this on the podcast before, but Ryan Hall, who was like a famous runner, he was like the American record holder in the half marathon. Great runner. He actually ran something like 202 or maybe 204 in the marathon, which would have been an American record had it not been like point to point with wind on his back or whatever. Anyway, he had this low testosterone problem, and it was a real problem for him in his competitive whatever. And he basically had to quit running. Like, I think he decided, like, I'm not going to cheat. I'm just going to quit the sport.
It was just too difficult.
It was too low. Yeah, yeah. Like, running high mileage was killing his testosterone levels. And I assume that he probably, like, got on testosterone and whatever he needed to do medically, probably that and then some, because now he's a bodybuilder.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He's massive.
He put on like he put on like 60 pounds of muscle.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
He is like beefcake.
Yeah.
So he went to the doctor and got himself leveled out. He's like, hey, I kind of like this. And hey, doc, let's up this a little bit.
He changed his whole routine. He went to powerlifting and like bodybuilding.
And I assume it's like, for me, I'm just like, that is on the up and up, because he's like, hey, this would be cheating in my sport. Switch to bodybuilding. This is not cheating, because
everyone
does this.
And he's not competing. Yeah, he doesn't compete running anymore.
Although he does some fun things where he's like going to try to lift 500 pounds, like deadlift 500, and then do a sub 5 minute mile.
Yeah.
And I think he missed it or something. He was close.
Or run like the rim to rim to rim through the Grand Canyon, which is 52 miles for like fastest known time. You know, something like that.
Yuck.
Yeah.
He seems like a solid guy.
Yeah,
his wife still races.
He's open about it all too. His Instagram is like fascinating.
Yeah, he did it right though. I mean, he stepped away from competitive racing, where he knew like if he was going to go that direction, it's against the rules, and if you get caught, then that's going to really sully your name. But I mean, if he's being honest about it, and it's pretty obvious that that's what he's doing, but he's just doing it for his own personal gain or reasons.
You know, this is a controversial subject, because there's definitely a reason to supplement with testosterone to bring your levels back to normal.
Yeah.
I have just never wanted to do that, just because I would feel like I'm still racing and I would feel like I'm cheating.
Yeah, exactly.
Even if it's just bring me back to normal. But that's probably not really the way, like USAC looks at it, or even most sporting organizations look at it. If you know what your levels are supposed to be for your age. You know?
I don't want to like dip into a very hot topic of discussion and debate, but I mean, if you think about just testing people for like how much testosterone is in their system, and you want to start talking about like the whole like trans debate in terms of like, you know, what the levels they need to be at. I mean,
wow, can of worms you just opened.
Well, I'm not opening it. I'm shaking the can in front of you. I'm not going to open it, but I'm just saying, like, if you have that discussion, yes, like, why can't you have the same discussion about men that have, you know, naturally low testosterone,
men over 40
or the testosterone levels that have come down? Like, is there an exception for that though? And like, I guess I need to go look at the actual rules and see what it says. Is it like a zero tolerance policy, or can it be like, yes, you can do that, but your testosterone levels need to come back within a certain range and they can't go beyond?
I think that's what it is.
Okay, so that's what I need to know for sure. Yeah. And then if that's the case, like for people that have that issue, then yeah, that's fine. And I don't think I'm going to personally be upset about that. Naturally speaking, if they didn't have that and we're going to go race against each other and you know that you're going to crush them because they just don't have the capacity to get up there, that could be.
Then do you get in the same situation where, like, they couldn't test for EPO, so their hematocrit levels had to be like this number or lower, mm-hmm, and so people were just like, "Well, I'm going to hit that number. Like, I'm going to use EPO to get that number exactly,
and then stop.
Just know that that's my level that I can't go past."
Yeah.
Would you? I mean, are we going to start to see that with testosterone? If you said, like, "Well, here's your testosterone number max," like, you
can't
know,
be, yeah, above that. That's a good question.
Because I'm like, if mine's not that max number, then I'll just top it off a little bit.
Yeah, especially if you're already good and you know that you're able to bump it up to that level, and it's just to make it that much better. I mean, it does open up a can of worms. It's a little bit of a slippery slope, if you will. But I mean, and
transgender issues are super interesting. Also, there was a lady on NPR, and they were talking about this athlete who was doing field hockey, and they loved field hockey, and they were transgender athlete, female to male, and it was interesting because they wanted to take testosterone because, you know, that's just part of the process, and it was like they couldn't because they were playing field hockey, and so it was like this debate, like, do I take testosterone and feel more like I should feel, or do I abide by these field hockey rules and, you know, not take anything? And it was just a tough situation for that particular athlete. Anyway. Yeah. There's a lot
to
tackle with hormones and hormone replacement.
Hmm.
What about make a whole subject?
The likes of like human growth hormone. I mean, we've talked about that kind of stuff before too. Like,
you pump just it right into my Achilles.
Well, yeah, talking about it from like an injury recovery standpoint, I mean, there's a lot of benefits that come there from that. So
there's also lots of negatives, I think.
Yeah,
I mean,
there
I don't
is
know that
too.
Much about it.
It can be abused.
Yeah, for sure. Like, but if you're doing anything with a legitimate doctor who's doing it under like their medical license and it's all on the up and up, I mean, is that something that you guys would consider doing? I mean,
I just think that there's doctors and then there's doctors that'll just green light whatever you want. Like, you can go to a lot of places where they're like, I'm a youth special, you know, like rejuvenation doctor, and we are here to make you 18 again, and we're going to do that with drugs.
Yeah.
I just think that there's certain doctors that are out there that roll that dice and play that game, and they get paid well, I'm sure. Mm. I think you can find a doctor for what you want if you're willing to go that route.
It's a very gray ethical area.
Yes. Yeah.
I have taken human growth hormone before.
Have you really?
I will admit it.
That is very interesting.
But it was.
I would love to try. Supposedly, like, I read this article and they were like, my eyesight got better. Like, crazy stuff can happen.
This was probably more than 10 years ago, and I was recovering from a back surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had back surgery. And
I didn't even know
you've had multiple back surgeries.
I've had three separate back surgeries.
Sure.
And one of them was pretty severe. Like, I didn't, like, leave the bed for a week or something afterwards. Yep. Yeah. So it was, and I had a regular doctor and I had a naturopath, and my naturopath put me on a very low amount of human growth hormone during the recovery process of that.
Hmm.
So did it make me bigger, faster, stronger? No idea. I was like having trouble walking.
Yeah.
I did not do anything athletic while I was on that. And it was only like for 2 weeks, and then that was it.
Right.
What number back surgery was this in your list of back surgeries?
Number one.
Number one? So you didn't do it again for 2 and 3?
I didn't.
And did you not find it necessary? Did you not want to like delve into that, or?
It felt wrong.
Okay.
I think it's interesting because I think they have done some, like, there's been studies on, like, okay, how is this for recovering from surgery? And it's kind of like wishy-washy results. And so I think most, like, most physicians don't recommend it for surgery recovery. But yeah. then you look at, like, oh, well, there's, like, eight NFL players.
Exactly. You know, that's my point right there.
I shouldn't say eight. There's, like, all of the NFL, the entire
800,
league.
Yeah.
Cancer is the biggest issue with human growth hormone. If you are, if you have some undiagnosed cancer in your system that you don't know about,
oh, it's rocket fuel. Yeah.
And you take human growth hormone, whoomp, it just, it drills it. It grows it. So,
and it's supposed to just basically like increase all of your markers for aging. Like you're just biologically older when you take this stuff. It speeds up aging processes. Huh. I mean, whatever. I would love for my Achilles to feel better. So,
get a doctor that specializes in this stuff.
I know.
Join us one of these days. That'd be a fun discussion.
Because we're all just, this is just my own experience.
Yeah. We're like, we don't know anything
really
about it.
We really don't know the science.
Yeah, that's true. That's been Crack Talk.
This has been Unscheduled Roid Talk.
Roid Talk.
Good times. All right. That came out of nowhere.
That came out of nowhere.
I don't even know where that came from.
It came from Jake going to the gym.
That's
all it takes. That's all it takes.
We're going
steroids.
We are off the rails.
I ended up going to Gold's Gym, and that's
there's another spot for you.
Yeah, and there was two other gyms I was looking at, and this one is just so stinking close to my house. I think it's like 1.2 miles away from my house. It's super, super close. And I'm like, there's other gyms out there that I liked a little bit better. But I just didn't want to drive that whole way. And the Gold's Gym was super close. And it's
affordable
okay.
too. It's affordable if you're just lifting. If you're doing swimming stuff, it's not.
Yeah. And they don't have family plans, but it's just my son and I, and the cost per month isn't that much. So we decided to go there. I'm like, it's going to save me on a monthly basis. If I'm going to go consistently, it's going to save me hours of just driving. So I decided to go there, and it's Gold's Gym. And I always kind of smirked at the whole notion that there's a Gold's Gym here in our little town.
Right.
Because, you know, it's like very synonymous with that very muscle bound beefcake, you know, roided out guys, you know, and that's kind of what it was born out of, if you will. And you go in there, and for the most part, though, it's just normal folk. Yeah, but there are definitely some people in there that are partaking in the supplementations.
Really what's interesting is I've been a part of that gym for
a long time.
Gosh, 13 years?
Yeah.
Something like that. And so when they switched from Lacma Swim and Sport to Gold's, the clientele did change. Like,
oh, really?
And what's interesting is, so I'm friends with the old owner, and she was like, yeah, immediately we picked up a whole bunch of people, and they were like lifters. Like they were, and she thought it was generally positive. Like these are, you know, people, they're going to come, they're going to be regulars, they're going to pay, they're going to.
Yeah. They're supposedly going to be dumping in this next year, like $1.3 million into it, new equipment and renovating it and doing a bunch of cool stuff. So I'm kind of interested to see how
that'd
goes.
Be cool.
So
yeah.
I'm going to stay the course. I'm not going to be doing the whole powerlifting, look at me, and I'm going to walk around with my muscles hanging out everywhere. But anyway.
If we don't see Jake with his shirt off and then at the gym in the next like 2 weeks, we have failed.
Or with one of those like
the teeny
spaghetti top things,
tank tops,
and my MC Hammer pants. Okay. All right, let's move on.
We need
Champ Alley in sports. Oh.
Champ here. This time of year, there's nothing to talk about.
Champ is here. There is nothing to talk about. You know what's interesting? The front page of Cycling News today, this morning. There's a story about Jonas Vingegaard, details about his single missed anti-doping
test. I saw that on social media, and you see all like the reactions, and there's a ton of like the little laughy faces like, oh yeah, sure.
It's funny. There's a couple of doping stories.
He must be tested very frequently.
I'm sure he is.
If he's missed one, it's like that's why they have like a, you know, they have like a three strikes, you're out rule or something.
Apparently it was from like 2019. It was a long time ago where he missed a test. He says he's never missed a test. He says it's a very good thing that cyclists are tested so much during a season. So he's all behind it. He says people can still beat the test. And so even having all these, negative tests, it kind of rings hollow because 10 years ago they found ways to beat it, you know?
Yeah.
But regardless, he was open and honest and happy that there's as much testing as there is.
Do you buy the whole, my phone was in the kitchen and my doorbell wasn't working?
I think they get more aggressive than that, the doping agencies. So I don't know. Anyway, yeah, so there's not a whole
lot. Is that what he said? He was like, my doorbell didn't work, or
that was the little brief synopsis that I read. I didn't read the whole article, but I mean,
that sounds sketch.
You don't know what they're up to these days. You want to give them the benefit of the doubt, but I mean, the fact that it was in 2019, I'm not putting much stock in that particular one missed test because they probably came back later that day or the next day. I don't know. I didn't read the article, but they're so tested, and it doesn't matter if the science is already like steps ahead of the testers. So like, why do we even like talk about this? I mean, they're doing stuff. We don't know what it is. That's just my take.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just enjoy watching the sport, and if they're all in the same thing and nobody's dying and it seems like it's a somewhat level playing field, then so be it. But we do have some supernatural cyclists right now. So
yeah.
I don't know.
So how does that factor in? I don't know.
Yeah. We don't know. You guys going to go over to Slovenia too while you got to drink some of the water over there? Yeah.
Yeah. So you got to get Ethan on all roided up on sodium bicarbonate.
Slovenian water.
Slovenian water with sodium bicarbonate built right in.
There you go. Anything else, champ?
No, champ out. There's really nothing to talk about.
What's going on with cyclocross? Is that back over in Europe now?
Is back over in Europe. There were a couple races in the U.S. this last weekend, but nobody of real... cyclocross is still happening. There's still World Cups happening in Europe. We are... The glory week of professional cyclocross is
Christmas time.
Is between Christmas and New Year's.
Yeah.
There's like 8 races during that time. Cool. It is. Last year it was phenomenal.
You did a lot of Zwifting watching.
Yes,
watching
because Wout and Vanderpool and Pidcock were all racing each other like every every day.
Yeah.
And the races were fantastic. That's not going to quite be the same this year. Wout's only doing 5 or 6 races. Vanderpool is only doing 7 or 8.
He's probably not doing anything.
Pidcock has not released any
details.
What details he's doing.
He showed up to some like random mountain bike ride. It wasn't even a race. I think it was just like more of like a charity ride this past weekend, if I'm not mistaken.
Really?
It was like something like 100K or something like that. And he just like showed up and like surprised everybody. Nobody was really expecting him. And
Pidcock's here.
Yeah. He just went out there and did his thing and
said he had
fun. The Olympic
champion in mountain biking. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So the big races of cyclocross are still coming.
Month away. Yep.
Yeah, they're a month away.
That's fun. Fun to watch those guys
get
after it that week.
It is fun.
So
I guess there is the other big news is we're losing GCN Plus.
Oh, yeah. We could talk about that for a second.
So that all came out this last week.
Do you think there's more to that story with respect to somebody else maybe picking up those rights?
No.
I don't think that there's that much to the story other than the fact that someone at GCN got paid to sell off GCN Plus to, was it Warner Brothers?
So Warner Brothers is now the parent company of GCN. And Warner
Brothers... Is it GCN or is it the entire property of, like, the entire GCN property? Or is it just that GCN Plus part?
I think it's
just the Plus part. I could be wrong.
That's what I thought, too. Yeah. That's what I thought, too.
The part that showed live racing.
Right, for sure.
So it really was our best option for watching live racing in the United States was GCN Plus.
Best value, best setup.
Best value, best setup.
Everything.
Yep. Yeah. And we are losing that. Warner Brothers, now the parent company, is...
They're just like, yeah.
They're consolidating. GCN Plus does not make money. It loses money. To have broadcast rights and to provide the streaming,
that goes on.
They don't make money.
Everything. Yeah, and
of course, a parent company actually looking at stuff is going to say, okay, we need to streamline things. What's going to happen there? How are we going to find racing? We don't quite know yet.
Yeah, I know it's bad.
It's bad. Can you use a VPN?
And that's true.
You can. You could use a VPN because in Europe you can still watch it through Eurosport.
Yep.
And so they have broadcasting rights. So you'd have to use a VPN to do that. So what complicates it a little bit? Is that really legal? That's a question mark. You know. So
legality is
their terms of service.
Easy is it to set that up though? I've never used a VPN before. Is that something that?
Oh yeah, within an hour you could be watching Eurosport easy.
It's easy, but like if you want to watch it on your big screen, you have to do it through your
like mirroring it from your phone or something like that
from your computer or your phone. Yeah, and then mirror it to a big screen if you're going to watch something.
That works, though.
So it does work, but it's just different. So we don't really have the right, you know, we don't know what's going to happen with racing in the United States, how we're going to be able to. We are going to lose watching some races. There's going to be stuff that we're going to lose. Tour de France, no, because that's owned.
NBC.
The rights is owned by NBC and Peacock.
Yep. Yeah,
but
the big monuments too. You could watch a lot of those on Peacock. Yeah,
correct.
Yeah.
That's true.
So I mean, we'll still be able to watch some stuff. You're just losing a lot of the smaller, not one offs, but some of the smaller races.
Correct.
Yeah. I think some of it's decent size. It's like I think you're going to lose some of the monuments. I don't think you're going to. We're only going to see like one or two, and then
We're going to lose
Grand Tours.
We'll
be able to find
Grand Tours.
I really loved watching the recaps, GCN's recaps on YouTube as well. Yeah. Like if you couldn't watch the actual race, you can watch that like 5 to 10 minute recap, which was fantastic.
Are we
losing that as well?
They won't have
the footage.
It'll be interesting if they have the footage to work with. We'll see.
I don't know.
Because you can watch like Lanton Rouge. Was he affiliated with GCN? Is that how that was? Or is he with the...
He was not affiliated. He's his own YouTube channel.
But he's got some sort of deal or contract that he has signed. Like he was like the official something or other for, I don't know, it was like the Tour de France or something like that for the YouTube recaps or something like that.
Show actual video.
Exactly. And like he had to wait just a certain amount of time, but he could still post that up and have rights to be able to do that. I can't remember who it was that he contracted with, but I remember something along those lines.
That's interesting.
Well,
that's a shame.
So that's a
real shame because basically that company, everyone from GCN is very disappointed. However, they sold that section of the company.
Yeah.
It's on them, in my opinion. Like that's on you. You guys sold off your options to make the call. And someone made the call that wasn't great for cycling fans in the US or in the world.
Yeah.
That's the way I see it. So I mean, I'm not boohooing for GCN team that got paid when they got purchased because they got paid. But
American fans are losing.
Yes. That's who's losing.
We're losing. GCN is something I used 3 or 4 times a week.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
GCN Plus.
You?
Because I would watch races. If I got on the trainer, I would pull it up. Not only did they have races, but they had all this original content.
Yes.
They had like KOM attempts with amateurs on Alpe d'Huez.
Huh.
Yeah.
Or adventures,
we're going to go to this weird spot and ride this lava.
Yes.
Like tons of weird stuff.
Or spotlight on riding in Girona. And they do a 50-minute video on all the great riding around Girona, Spain, or Mallorca, or L.A., or, I mean,
they
had all this original content that were fun to watch, especially
really
while I was on the trainer.
Yeah.
That's all going away.
Huh.
Well, you have... access to the end of the month? It's going away really quickly, right?
Like December 12th.
And then
what
are they doing? What's their like the repercussions price wise and all the like fees? They're just like
if you have
remember.
Subscription beyond December 12th that you've prepaid for, you're getting refunded.
Okay,
yeah.
I remember it being looking at it, and glancing at it, and being like, well, that's decent. They're trying.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What happens with the, Flow Sports, do you think they step up and try and do it? We all know that nobody likes to watch Flow.
I don't know. There are races on Flow Sports that haven't been on GCN. They're showing some World Cups, but it is really sparse. The racing I want to watch just is rarely on Flow Sports.
I was so angry with them because I tried them for something and then it was like, I don't remember, it just kept getting billed and just I couldn't get out of there.
But
it was bad.
They do have racing. Will they get more broadcast rights? I don't know. Will Warner Brothers, will they move all
will they
the live racing to like their
they
like
have,
a different app?
What do they have? What's the
Maybe.
Name of their app?
I don't know. There's
can't
another.
Remember. They have something.
How long ago did Warner Brothers buy the rights to that?
I don't
Has
know.
It been a while? And that was the parent company for a while that...
You know, GCN Plus has only been around for 2 years.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think the Max app in Warner Brothers, I think that's still like same
maybe
kind of avenue. Yeah. I would be happy if there was cycling on...
So it's possible that we get another way to watch live racing or recently done racing and be able to watch the whole race with the problem... GCN did their own commentary, so you could watch a race with commentary.
Yeah.
I've watched a lot of races on other feeds with zero commentary, and
it's not the same.
If you don't know and everybody race, it sucks. Yeah. It does. It's just like,
I agree.
It's just like eye candy is all you're watching. You're not learning anything, you know?
Sure.
But yeah, so it's complicated and we don't know what the full repercussions are going to be yet with it.
Time will tell. Yeah. Cool.
Holy cow.
Guys,
I got to roll soon.
So yeah, that was a lot of news.
We're 55 minutes into this thing. Let's just jump right into our topic for the week.
Let's just jump right into it.
It doesn't have to be that long. It doesn't have to be super detailed. You guys, it's the day before Thanksgiving, and the day after Thanksgiving is Black Friday. Yes. And I don't know if you're like me, but my inbox has been just pummeled with like all of the Black Friday deals. And there's no such thing as Black Friday anymore. It's just like, it's not even a week. It's just the whole month.
Yeah.
And like you think it's going to stop. It just the deals keep rolling because you've got like Small Business Saturday, Cyber Monday, and then just rolls right into Christmas. And there's after Christmas and there's the New Year sale. So everything's on sale for like the next month and a half. Let's just call it what it is.
That's true.
There are a lot of things out there that are kind of cool. There's some new things that are kind of hitting the market. There's some stuff that might be worthwhile like looking into. So let's run through all of this stuff real quick. With respect to, say, we're not getting a new bike, what are some upgrades that you guys would suggest people look into right now, knowing that a lot of the stuff is going to be on sale, like ridiculous sales, that people could get for their bikes that are going to make their bikes vastly improved? What are some things that you guys would consider right now?
I think I'm more familiar with the sports tech side of things. So if you need a watch, now's a great time to buy.
100%.
You can save, you know, $200 on some of these watches. Same thing, probably, I would say, on the cycling computer side of things. I'd have to look at the deals exactly. But if you can save money on any of that stuff, you might as well. I mean, some of it's you're saving $50. Some of it, you know, like Varia Radar, it's kind of at its normal low price. When it does go on sale, it's always around $150.
Correct.
That's there. Their Hammerhead Karoo 2 cycling computer, I would be a little hesitant with that one. It's $140 off, which is a ton. But the problem with it is they got to be announcing a Karoo 3 at some point. It's been on sale for
somewhere.
It's basically been on sale for a year. I don't think that if you want that cycling computer, snag it on sale. The next one is going to have whatever, multi-band GPS. It's I don't see anything massive coming from them. Who knows?
Better battery life, I think it has better to battery be. Life that has to be has something to be the next that they do. Because that's like consider. Probably the biggest knock on that the fact that they don't have an app for it. But
I would look at little things like any way to make your training room, like your pain cave, more comfortable, like a better fan. Mm-hmm. We talked about that on the podcast two podcasts ago.
Probably,
like the fact that I don't have a great fan or I need a remote for my fan. Bike trainers. You can get some good
lots
bike trainers.
Lots of trainers on sale.
Yeah. Lots of
trainers on
the
sale.
The Kicker Core right now. Granted, that thing's been around since like, 2018 or something like that, or 2017, and it hasn't changed at all. But that thing is like an insane deal right now. They used to retail for $900. I think you can get them on sale right now for like under five. I think it's like $475 or $480 or something like that. That's a smoking deal right there. And that's a solid, solid platform.
There's some weird stuff still going on. I mean, we've been talking about this a lot, but like Zwift and Wahoo are just weird bedmates, right? It's like they're canceling the Trainer Hub Classic, which we talked about on the podcast. Now they're just going to have the Trainer Hub 1, which is weird because they're like, we still have the old option if you want it. Oh, wait, 2 weeks later. No, we don't. And now they're really pushing hard and they're bringing the Wahoo Kicker Core as like, they're like, here's this trainer that you can get for dirt cheap with a cassette on now.
This has to be a part of that settlement agreement.
Something weird. Yeah. To me, it always feels like, oh, this is the new Zwift Hub. It's just like the Kicker Core is the new Zwift Hub. Very weird goings on there.
But you have to consider the fact that that Kicker Core's got to be going away sometime soon. It's going to be 6+ years old.
And they're just going to have some sort of weird deal with, or who knows what they're going to do, but it's going to be some sort of weird deal with Zwift.
Yeah.
It's odd. The Tax Neo 2T, which is a really nice smart bike trainer, is $500 off.
Yeah. That's normally $1,300 if I'm not mistaken. So that's
14 or something.
14,
But here's the thing. I think that, and I don't actually know anything. I would tell you, I wouldn't say anything if I knew anything. My gut feeling is that that's also due for a bump. So maybe, like, I don't know what they're going to do.
Stay tuned. Yeah. Next week, you might hear something.
Yeah. So look for that.
I may or may not know things, but I don't know. Who knows?
You know more. What else? I'm trying to think. I really like the idea of, like, kind of upgrading your pain cave a little bit.
especially for those of us who live in areas where the weather is not fantastic and you don't want to be out there like hammering it in the crappy weather. And it's also super convenient just to be able to ride from home. Trust me, I've been doing it for months now.
Right.
But I wholeheartedly agree. Getting something that's going to invite you in and make it even more comfortable and make it even easier for you to say, I'm going to go do this, it makes a huge difference. I mean, Lance and I have been riding on the kicker bikes, and they're expensive.
They're probably on sale too.
They actually have new models. They have like two separate models.
Kicker bike V2 is about a year old. Those ones are on sale. They just came out with the kicker bike Shift. Those are not, there's no deals to be had on those.
Right. I think you'll see that a lot of times with most things. It's like brand new stuff. Not on sale, but you get last season or last whatever. Yeah. And a lot of that stuff is pretty good still.
Yeah. So Wahoo does have a deal going on the Kicker Bike V2 right now, but it's a very short period of time that you can jump on that. And we've got them on our website, and you can go there and check out everything that's on sale at the dialedcycling.com website. Ooh, but there you go, little plug. There are some deals we had on those. But going back to having one of those, it's such a nice piece of equipment. It's super comfortable. It's very easy to adjust. It's quiet. You don't have to take your bike on and off. You're not putting any wear and tear on your own personal bike. Correct. You don't have to, you know, go out and buy like a nice kicker and then go buy like a crappy bike to put on there that's not going to be quite as comfortable, that's going to end up wearing and all this stuff. It's just like you go ride it.
Yeah.
It's a good feature. So, and those have actually been quite popular.
And I love the kicker.
It does have, we talked about the virtual shifting. That's kind of what these bikes are doing under the hood, right? Because you're just clicking a button and And so these are quiet bikes. They're quiet.
What about upgrades though? Lance, you got anything that you want to toss out there to people that they might want to consider at this juncture of time if they're not looking to buy a whole bike, but something that they can do to their bike to improve it or sometimes even vastly improve it?
Vastly improve it. New wheels is one thing. Ooh, that if you upgrade to a better pair of carbon wheels that are tubeless compatible
with nicer hubs and nicer bearings, that can make such a big improvement on your bike. It's probably the closest thing that you can do to your bike to making your bike new, feel new, and actually making it perform significantly better.
Yes.
So, and it doesn't matter what kind of bike you have. It could be any bike. You put a nicer set of wheels on it, it's a night and day difference.
It's a night and day difference. So that's a great upgrade for your own bike. Another upgrade, if you don't have them, are like carbon seat post or carbon handlebars.
Yeah.
If you have aluminum handlebars or aluminum seat post or something and you haven't experienced how comfortable a carbon seat post or carbon bars, that's a great upgrade. So
it definitely softens.
And strength is not really an issue anymore.
Correct.
With carbon bars. They're freaking strong.
You ever snapped a carbon seat post before?
I have not.
I have done two of them on mountain bikes.
I think David Goodman also broke a handlebar in a race, carbon handlebar.
He did.
It does happen. But here's the thing. I think it was a certain age. It's quite a bit older, the handlebars.
Yeah, so they do get compromised if the bike falls over, if you have a crash. Yep. And it's one of those things that it's easy to miss a crack in the carbon fiber. And it's not one of those things that generally will just full on snap on you. It's usually like kind of like a slow, like, oh, it just gave out. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, I've got like a one handlebar. So, yeah,
which is good.
Yeah. But
better than the Trek that just snapped the stem. Yeah.
Our friend, and he listens to the podcast, well, Jesse Tonkinson, he had a Trek Domani, I think it was, at some point in time. It was newer, it was probably like 17, 18, 19, somewhere there. He was riding that and his handlebar just snapped on him. Oh. So, and he didn't crash. So,
anyway, right.
So,
yeah. When it kind of like folds like that. Yeah. Usually that's I think the same thing happened to Dave Goodman where it was just like, and then you're kind of half hanging on in there and it's still okay. And then it's just like, okay, well, I can't ride like this. So
race over. So wheels and carbon bars and carbon seat posts, the carbon bars and seat posts are really going to like lighten up your bike quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And it's going to create more compliance. And it's just more comfortable, right? Especially if you're doing like longer, more endurance rides.
What about power meters?
Definitely jump on power meters.
If you don't have a power meter, it's so worthwhile.
There was a long time where it was, you know, power meters were super expensive and it was just like the elite racers or the people with a lot of discretionary income that would be able to go out and buy those. Yep. But they have come down in price so much and there are so many different options and so many different ways that you can attach them to your bike to make it work. And once people start riding with power, I'm like, yeah, it's great to be able to say, oh, look at how many watts I just put up. Mm-hmm. But like, once you start to figure out like how you can actually use a power meter, it's so invaluable.
It's just like, yeah, like your, everything is based on, yeah, it. Your race, your training, your, I mean, can you imagine not having power? Like you would like imagine like, cause like not even on Zwift, like nothing, like it's just,
every time I get on a bike that doesn't have power, I'm just irritated.
Yeah. Or what's worse is like you're on your own bike and you're like, crap, my battery's dead. And I got to look at this blank empty spot screen on my computer for the whole time. And Mike, I just turn the damn computer off, put it in my pocket.
I'm almost more okay with it when I'm out like chilling for a chill ride, not having power, as opposed to, cause I had a bike for a while that just the power meter was dead and I just never replaced the battery, but I was doing a lot of easy rides. Whereas, can you imagine like trying to do a workout or Zwift or anything? Like you just, what are you doing? Heart rate? Like that seems like
it's much harder.
Ancient. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway. Can you make a case though for people that don't race, that are just more of like a bike enthusiast that like to go ride bikes? Do you think that those people need a power meter?
No, probably not.
Probably could be fine.
You could probably be fine with that one.
Yeah.
If you're not training to improve, then.
Yeah. So if you're not training to improve in a race and you just like to go out and ride your bike, there's a chance that you might
like,
not need it.
But if you're like, if you're, I need to go to the grocery store and I'm going to take my bike, do you need power for that?
No.
No.
But if you're somebody that's like, all right, I'm a bike enthusiast. I ride anywhere from 5 to 10 hours a week. And maybe I like to do, you know, like the pedal century, or I like to go do like the Cookie Monster, whatever.
Any of those, and they, I use the term like race in quotes.
Just because events,
like, these are, you know, rides that are experiences, events, and things like that, you can still drastically improve your performance, in your comfort, in your ability to feel good in those last 10 miles when you ride by power, because it's almost like cheating where you're like, oh, I'm holding myself back because I know this is the watts that I need to hold to be solid the last 10 miles. Yeah. You can have a better ride because you're basing stuff on your power.
Yeah.
So
another way to look at a power meter too is if you're just out to ride bikes strictly because, well, A, you're going to probably like, you're going to fall in love with it, because who doesn't fall in love with bikes? But if you're looking at it from a perspective of, I'm looking to get into better shape, I'm looking at trying to lose more weight, this is going to be a more functional way for you to go about doing that, because you can really start to track things like kilojoules, which is like a direct correlation to like calories burned. Granted, if you're riding your bike, you're going to lose weight, but you can also make sure that you keep it in a certain level so that you're, you know, engaging beta oxidation and within your body, and not like, you know, in a situation where you're just constantly like spiking all over the place and just really working more in the anaerobic system. So there's different ways that you can engage a power meter to better serve you from a fitness perspective that I think has some value, some merit to it. So anyway, that's one of those things where I think for the vast majority of people, I think a power meter is very, very functional, and they're very, very affordable these days. Yeah. And you can get them for, you know, $200-$300 if you want these days. And there's a lot of stuff that's on. A lot
more people use pedal-based power meters recently, but nice, there's other options
too, because you can actually take those and put them on all kinds of different bikes. So what are some other gadgets that you guys would recommend to folks? And are there any gadgets that you would like to see under the Christmas tree with your name on it?
Oh,
I'm going to be, I don't think I'm going to want too much. I'll change my mind in like 20 minutes, but like, I just don't need a lot. I feel like I have everything that I need. And a lot of that's because it's like companies do send me stuff and that makes me super spoiled.
Mm-hmm.
And, sometimes I'm very like, oh, I love having all this information, but I'm also okay with just going for a run without a watch on, you know. It's like the watch guy can be fine without, you know, all the tech stuff.
Let's be honest though. You're always wearing two watches.
I'm always wearing two watches. That's just the way life is. But I don't feel like I need anything in particular. And so if the tree under the tree's a little sparse, that'll be okay with me.
Yeah. About you, Heb?
Consumables for me are always a great gift because I'm using that stuff all the time. Like, I'm talking about brake pads, chains, nutrition stuff,
tires, and sealants, lubes, like, and cleaners.
You need nutrition? I just have so much nutrition in my house, and I just don't feel like I ever need it for the rides that I'm doing. I just need to drop it at your house.
Yeah, you should drop it
Christmas
at my house.
Christmas at your house.
I use it all the time.
Right? Because, you're actually doing some rides that deserve it. My wife was like, we need to see that shelf right there, just full of stuff. She's like, we need to get rid of all that stuff. It's just going to expire and get old. And I'm like, I know, you're right. Hmm. So,
but consumable stuff for me, that would be good. A good gift.
That's
good.
A fantastic gift for any cyclist.
True.
Yeah. Like, because eventually you're going to use all of it. It's just a matter of knowing, like, all right, which brake pads do you need? Which chain do you need? What kind of tires do you like to ride on? But for all intents and purposes, that's something that all cyclists need.
If you go look at the tires and get the exact same thing, because you just wear, I mean, you wear out tires. It's just like, that would be such a simple thing for someone to use as a gift where it's like, hey, eventually he's going to need new tires. Here's the ones he's got on. He's probably liking these. So
I swapped a tire this morning.
Did you?
Yeah. And I need more sealant.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, sealant. You go through sealant.
Go through sealant.
Would you guys be mad if somebody got you like a new saddlebag or a pouch with all new components for that? I mean, that's another good one too.
Because always good.
Great gift.
Like that stuff. Like you don't use it a lot, but for whatever reason, it always seems to like take a lot of abuse because of where it's sitting on the bike, and so a lot of times like. Rusty or get kind of crummy or like you'll get new tools that'll come out, like a multi-tool will come out and like, oh, look at all the cool things that has on that are specific to my bike now, like the PNW little pebble. Like I love that little tool. It's so small, but at the same time it's got all the things that my bike needs on it, and it's got a Dyna plug.
It's got a Dyna plug in it too, which is great.
Or you just use flat repair stuff and then you like bike around without the stuff that you need because you're too lazy to put it back in the next thing that you need to put back in the thing. That stuff always is going to be needed. That's always a good thing to have.
CO2s. That's a CO2s. Great gift.
Yeah. Simple.
Yeah.
All right. I got to rock out.
You're out of here? Do you want to do your one last thing real quick?
I will do a Black Friday video. I just need to square away some time to work on it. So,
it's got to get out of
here. It's either like it'd be ideal if it came out today so that more people could see it on Black Friday, or if it came out tomorrow. Mm. I don't know. I mean, Thanksgiving's busy, so it's always tricky to try and get a video out, but I try to sneak one out usually for Black Friday. So, we'll do the same.
Go make a video, Matt.
I'll try.
All right, buddy.
Got kids to take care of. Yep.
We'll catch you later.
Bye, guys.
Lance, anything else that you want to add to this list? Things that you want to get for. Or cyclists should consider getting right now?
There are some cool little, new technology things like the Nog Scout little bike alarm and tracker thing.
Yep, that thing is pretty cool.
Yeah, that can be interesting.
I think that thing has great value for people that use their bike all the time. Like for me though, usually when I go ride my bike, it never leaves my sight. It's like I always know what it's up to. But there's still that rare oddity where somebody breaks into your garage or your car and steals it. And like having that tracker in there would be fantastic. And I think that tracker is probably even less obvious than like a traditional AirTag that people would be putting on their bikes. So there is that bit. And I do like the fact that you can set an alarm on it because I don't stop at coffee shops often, but if I did and I had that alarm on there and I heard it go off, then that's definitely going to cue me to like, hey, got to go find out what's going on.
I think it's pretty rare that you and I don't stop at coffee shops when I'm out riding on the road, but most people do.
Yeah.
So having something like this where you can set an alarm on your bike would be really beneficial.
We're kind of the anomaly there. So for the vast majority of people that like to ride their bike, I think that's a great little option. The other thing that's not a problem per se, but my bike and your bike is the same. It has proprietary bottle cages that are aerodynamic that are kind of worked into the frame a little bit. So to put that on there, it would work. It would just look really janky.
It would look weird.
The bottle cage would be set away from the frame quite a bit. So it doesn't necessarily work for my particular bike and my particular need. But for the vast majority of people, that's a great little option.
Yeah.
And it's something that I would highly recommend. The other thing is there's a lot of people that are getting into gravel. And there's so much cool gravel stuff out there to get. Like I think right now probably the most popular thing that we see people purchasing aside from things like, tires or like carbon bars and seat posts, because that makes a much bigger, much more improved ride quality for riding on gravel as opposed to riding on the road. But like frame bags.
Yes.
People love their bags and they love to be able to take all of their things. So frame bags have been super popular. There's still a lot of people that are buying the handlebar bags, like the little burrito pouch that you put underneath the handlebar. So that kind of stuff really bodes well with a lot of gravel riders. But what's cool is those frame bags, they work well for the road bike as well. You can take the frame bike or frame off the, or not the frame, the bike bag off of the frame of your gravel bike and put it on your road bike and use those for some longer rides, which would be kind of fun. If you're not racing and you don't mind carrying a little extra weight and you want to throw like your peanut butter and jelly sandwich in there and your phone and some other crap, that's a good little thing. And like Evoc has got one that I quite like, that's been on my gravel bike and I love that thing.
It's good.
You can upgrade your heart rate monitor. It's always nice to have an extra one of those. It's one of those things like you use it all of the time.
Yes.
And they're really good until they're not. And it's usually one of those situations like, ah, crap, I've got to take this thing apart. I got to go find a SCR2032 battery. I got to put it in. No, right. I just need to get on my bike and go ride. My people and my friends, they're waiting for me. So having a spare heart rate monitor is generally kind of a good idea for those that are really wanting to monitor that information. Right. So, and there's been some new ones that have come out recently that are kind of cool. What else is out there? Chamois green. Could always use some more shampoo cream.
Sure enough.
Sealant.
Bike cleaner stuff too.
Yeah.
Brushes are actually a good gift.
How do you store your bikes? Are they hung up on the wall? Are they leaning up against something in the garage? Are they in just a big pile in the backyard somewhere? How do you store your bikes?
The bikes I don't ride very often are hanging up on a wall.
Okay. What do you use to hang them?
I have a super cheap just hook. They're just hanging by a tire.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are they carbon wheel bikes, or is that something that you're not worried about?
It's not something I'm worried about.
Gotcha. Yep. The Feedback Sports, they make a bunch of good like bike storage accessories. There's like two-tiered racks that you can get, or you can get simple things that you can mount on the wall that will telescope in and out based on how like wide your bars are, so that you can actually hang your bike up there without the handlebars turning. But the one that I really like that I seem to use the most is the Feedback Rack, R-A-A-K.
Yes.
We have a ton of those at the lab, and we've got a ton of bikes in them. And
I hate to admit this, but I probably have 7 of those at my house. So the bikes I use regularly aren't hanging up.
Yep.
They're on those Feedback Sports racks.
And yep. So long as you don't have like unruly animals or children running around that can knock those things over, generally speaking, they do a really good job of keeping your bike in place.
Yes.
Not falling over, and it's a good way to store your bike because it's really simple just to slide it in and you don't have to pick it up and it's just there. So
so I like those a lot. I have a lot of them.
Yeah. Anything else that you can think of that you would recommend people consider?
New water bottles are great for people. New bottle cages are great for people.
How many water bottles do you think you own?
That's not
be serious.
You probably shouldn't ask me that.
North of 20?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
I probably have 60.
Oh, geez.
So, but I also collect them.
Okay.
So I have unique water bottles that are lining a shelf in my garage, and it's probably 40 water bottles long.
Oh, that's kind of cool, though.
Yeah. I mean, so that's up high.
Yeah.
It's from different locations, different races. Like if I go to a race and they give me a race branded water bottle.
You don't use it. It goes on the shelf.
I don't use it. It goes on the shelf.
Okay.
Yeah. But in rotation that I'm normally using, I have like 8 different water bottles that are on rotation that I'm using.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I think another good thing to pick up this point in time too is just stuff to clean your bike. There's all kinds of deals going on right now with like different bike cleaners.
Yeah.
Do you use like a garden hose, or do you have like a specialized pressure washer or anything that you use for your bike?
I use a garden hose.
Gotcha.
I use a garden hose that has a setting on it that sprays pretty hard, so it will take off.
Okay.
It's not a pressure washer, but it
works pretty
stinking
close. But it
works pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've always, and we actually have, I think, 1 or 2 of them down at the lab, but the Muckoff, they make that pressure washer that does a bunch of cool stuff. I've almost taken one of those home so many times and I just haven't. So if anybody's used one of those out there, report back. I've watched a few videos on YouTube and people seem to like them. I think they might be a touch expensive normally, but at this point in time with everything being on sale, that might be something worth picking up if you're, into really keeping your bikes, spick and span clean. So I don't know, especially for people that live in the Pacific Northwest or just parts of the country where there's just crap all over your bike all of the time when you're riding this time of year.
Yeah.
But who am I kidding? That's not me. I don't ride outside anymore. All right. I think that's about it. There's a couple other things that you might want to consider too for the cyclist in your life, or if you wanted to give a gift to somebody. How about like a year-long subscription to Zwift or Strava Premium? Those are 2 great gifts for people.
Or Training Peaks.
Training Peaks.
A Strava Premium gift would be great for people that aren't.
Yep.
Wouldn't normally buy that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Trainer Road's another good one if somebody's looking to get on a training program. Also, like find a massage therapist that specializes in working with athletes.
Sure.
That's a great thing to use. Like if you have a couple gift certificates or even just a gift certificate that you can use to go see a massage therapist that's like maybe mid-season or if you're having some issues. Speaking from personal experience, they do a good job and that's a good one to have. And if you really want to get into the weeds, look into acupuncture as well. So that's a very interesting sensation when you go and get that done, but I can tell you from personal experience that it does work. It does help. So I've quite enjoyed working with my acupuncturist. It's kind of a love-hate relationship, but it's been good.
I like it.
And then finding a coach is another good thing that you can do. It doesn't have to be a full year. It doesn't have to be like 6 months. It could just be for like the off season for like 3 months, maybe 4 to have somebody working with you. And working with a coach that's not all that crazy expensive. I mean, some of them can get up into the hundreds of dollars a month, like $300, $400, $500. It just depends on how much attention you need. But having somebody who can work with you and that can be very objective and has a good understanding of what goes into a training program and knows how to look at the numbers to know when you're kind of tiptoeing on that edge of like overdoing it too much, or when to like light a fire underneath you because you're not quite working hard enough, or you're failing, or you're missing workouts. It's just that one person that's looking over your shoulder, that's holding you accountable, that causes you and forces you to work and do something that you maybe wouldn't have done on your own. So, plus they're just full of good information and good insight. And a lot of good coaches are going to give you some good race strategy or some good tips and tricks and other things that you can use to supplement in there. Do we happen to know a good coach that we can refer?
We have a great coach, Ian Gibson. Sir Ian Gibson has coaching services that he offers. He has a ton of race experience. He's been doing it a long time. He's a certified coach.
Yep.
So
he is a crafty, smart, educated cyclist that has had a lot of racing experience. And how... He doesn't mind us talking about that. How old is he now? 61, 62?
61, I think.
Yeah. He is 61 or 62, and he looks and rides like he's like late 30s, early 40s. It's amazing. I mean, he's like timeless, right?
He is. I'm actually going on a trip with him in January, and I will have difficulty staying, keeping up with Sir Ian.
So he does a great job of coaching his clients, and it's a fun thing. And then he just told me that there's a very, very strong chance that he's going to be retiring from his current full-time job.
Yeah.
And going full-time cyclist and just having his coaching stuff so he can just strictly focus on that. He had some opportunities come up where he might take advantage of that. So hopefully it's okay that I'm saying this, Ian. Sorry if it's not. But anyway, long story short, he is definitely going to be taking on more clients. So if anybody's interested, you can go to dialperformancecoaching.com and read about Ian and see his programs and reach out to him.
Yeah.
Kind of cool stuff. So, all right. That is a lot of stuff we went through. Anything else you want to add to that list?
I think we're good. We should end this.
What are you getting me for Christmas, Lance?
Love and appreciation.
Ah, crap.
What are you getting from me? A giant middle finger?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. A customized picture selfie of me giving you the bird.
It's just what I wanted.
I think I gave you one of those for like your birthday and your anniversary.
Perfect.
All right, let's do one last thing. What you got?
My one last thing. I had my acting debut this last weekend.
Oh, that was fun.
Friend of the podcast and guest Dylan Wiggins made a YouTube video that is a mockumentary of...
I think we have to call that more than a YouTube video.
It's really a mockumentary.
It's a mockumentary. Very well done. And it just so happens to live on YouTube.
Yes.
So
he's, the Netflix documentary Unchained that was about the Tour de France, he did a mockumentary on that, but following a cyclocross racer through all the races of Trophy Cup this year. And so there were characters and following the different characters. It's really quite funny. I also played a character, but it happened to be myself. Mm-hmm. I was playing a version of myself. Not really. I guess I'm the only one that played himself in the movie. I play the sandbagging legend.
Yeah.
Lance Hepler, sandbagging legend. So go to Dylan's YouTube page. It's called Quap Face 2. That's CWAPFACE, Quap Face 2. And it's called Trophy Cup Unchained.
Yeah.
I believe. So it's pretty freaking hilarious. That was the one where we had a premiere at an actual theater.
Yeah. This last weekend. It was pretty well attended. I mean, was it 50, 60, 70
56
people?
56 people. Even Chris Hitchcock, our teammate, showed up.
Oh, good for him.
So he was there too. So there was a lot of people there. Yeah.
Did he get like a standing oath at the end?
Yes. Everybody stood up and clapped. And it was a really fun event because we all knew each other. We're all racers and racers' families. And so it was just fun to watch a video in an audience where people are laughing and making fun of each other. And
if I remember, I'll share that on our socials on the old Facebook.
Yeah.
If it's, you guys follow that stuff. So
Trophy Cup Unchained.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. My one last thing will be... I don't know. I already kind of mentioned that I'm going to be riding outside tomorrow, but if anybody's interested here locally, and this comes out today in time for you guys to hear this and join us tomorrow, we're going to be doing a little Thanksgiving morning ride. It's kind of like our normal little gravel out and about that we do out and back. It's what, 30 miles ish. And it'll take a couple hours, and that'll be my first time riding outside in, gosh, over four months now, which boggles my mind. It was a touch longer from when I got hit by the car. It was like, I think 6 months, if I'm not mistaken, between like when I rode and outside for the first time. But I guess the only other one thing is, like, I already talked about this, the YouTube channel, the DCT Rides. Like, I'm actually having kind of fun doing that. And I don't know. I've put together a few more videos. I don't know if you saw the last one that I put up. It ended up being the full ride. It's got full picture in picture of like a front and rear camera. And I was able to take like Garmin Matrix from the ride. And
it has dynamics.
That are all the G metrics are overlaid over the video. And this time I'm like, I think I'm going to put some music on here because I want to be able to go back and watch this when I'm on the trainer, kind of a thing. And I tried to like maybe hit a little bit of a fast motion, or like a fast forward, but it was just like the time was sped up tremendously through some of the more boring parts. But I think what we need to do, Lance, is we need to have me put one or two of those together that we can both like sit down and look at, and we'll maybe do some commentary.
Oh, that'd be great.
I think that'd be kind of fun to play with. But if you want to go watch any of these, the first, I don't know, 50, 60 videos that I put out there was just raw footage. And I think I explained this before, and sorry if this is being redundant, but I had terabytes upon terabytes upon terabytes of video stuff. And my external hard drive was getting full, and I didn't want to have to go buy another one. Again, sorry if I'm being redundant here. And I'm like, I can't stomach the idea of deleting these. And I never really did share them with people. And I always said I was going to do something with them. So I'm like, all right, I'm just going to let them live on YouTube, because you know what? That doesn't cost anything, and I can always pull it down later if I need to. So I've been uploading them. At first, it was just like raw video after raw video. I'm like, you know what? I need to do a little bit better than that, because this is just too many like segments, and I don't know if people are going to actually want to sit down and just watch like an 8-minute video, because that's about how long that the GoPro video is. I'm like, at least maybe put a couple of them together, and then I started putting some of them together, and I'm like, yeah, it needs to maybe have this picture-in-picture thing, because like I've got a front and rear camera, and I don't want to have a bunch of video of like, well, you can watch 8 minutes of the front, and then you can watch 8 minutes of the same thing in the rear. I'm like, well, I can just do a picture-in-picture and just basically put up two videos together. I'm like, well, if I'm going to do that, I might as well just, and all of a sudden I started creating work for myself. But
doing more stuff.
But what's nice about that though is it's quick and easy to do. You put it in, you just kind of toss it all in there real quick, and then you let it run its process, because like uploading these videos takes a long time.
Yes.
And then the process of putting them together doesn't take that much time. So I just let it work its thing in the background while I'm working. And then once it's done and I have some free time, I'll just take the file. I'm like, all right, it's time to start uploading, or okay, now it's time to like export it or to render it out. And I'll do that. It doesn't take very much time, but I think if we want to have a little bit more fun with it, we can maybe sit back and do a little bit of like voiceover on these.
Oh yeah.
Kind of make fun of each other. Right. That'd be fun. Yeah. So anyway, I've talked way too much, and yes, I have had a lot of coffee today. But I've also, oh, I slept in today, Lance. I slept in. I got up at 4:50. For the past month, I've been waking up between 3:45 in the morning and 4 o'clock. Don't ask me why. That's just, that's how my body works these days. But I also go to bed early now, so I'm trying to.
Yes, you are. So,
anyway, we will be back next week with another one of these. Oh, and have a good Thanksgiving, everybody.
Thanksgiving.
You too, Lance. But anyway, we'll be back next week with another one of these. And until then, bye for now.